Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.
Thank you so much for joining us today. This is Dr. Youngblood, and we do want to face the issues. You're listening to and participating in a program called Let's Face the Issues. We have issues that we all face, and may I suggest that there are multitudes that go to the wrong sources. People will try to find answers to life's problems in going to politicians and the media and society and sociologists, et cetera, et cetera, et cetera. When in reality, God has an answer for all of life's problems, for all that you face or that I face. It's called the Bible. The Bible is the source of truth. Jesus said, "Thy word is truth," in John 17:17. And Jesus had already said in John 8:31-32, "If you continue in my word, then you're my disciples indeed, and you shall know the truth, and the truth shall make you free." Ladies and gentlemen, I am wanting to admonish us to go to the Word of God. God's Word should be treasured in our hearts and lives as believers. I pray that you do, and I pray that you look at the Scripture as the big whole and not just picking little fragments here and there. One of the major problems that we have in theological circles, multitudes of pulpits, is preaching on little fragments of a verse, a little word, a phrase, or fragment. You can, by the way, let me remind us in the event you've not already been made aware of that. You can participate in this program Monday through Friday. It's a listener participation program where you can call in, you can ask the questions, you can join in the dialogue, the discussion at 401-1413. That's 904-401-1413. The reason I'm making those statements in relationship to the Scripture, it is so vital that we understand the totality of the whole counsel of God and not taking some fragments out of context and or taking layers of rites, rituals, rules, and regulations based on some denominational preference. When we get to heaven, there won't be a little cubicle that says Baptist, down the hall one that says Methodist, and down the hall in heaven one that says Presbyterian, et cetera, et cetera. We'll be in heaven because we're saved and no other reason. Next week, for example, let me give you a little precursor on one of the things that we'll cover next week. Next week, one of the subjects we'll cover will be, can a person go to hell and return? Can a person go to heaven and return? So many claim that they have done so. There are multitudes of books that have been written, movies that have been produced of someone that supposedly had died, gone to heaven, and returned. And they tell us about it. Can we validate that statement? Can we validate those claims? Can we validate those assertions any place, in context, in the Word of God? We're going to talk about that on our broadcast one day next week. We will be interviewing several of our political candidates also next week. So I encourage you to join in each day, Monday through Friday, as we do so. There are a number of issues that we're faced with in society. May I remind us in 2 Timothy chapter 3, this know also that in the last days, perilous times, that means difficult, dangerous, dark, devastating, deadly times shall come. For men shall be lovers of their own selves, covetous, boasters, proud, blasphemers, disobedient to parents, unthankful, unholy, without natural affection, truce breakers, false accusers, incontinent, fierce, despisers of those that are good, traitors, heady, high-minded, lovers of pleasure more than lovers of God. Here's the fifth verse in this unit of thought. Having a form that is the outward show, the outward shine, the outward look, the form of godliness, but denying the power thereof. And the scripture says in that verse, from such turn away. May I remind us, when we think about the issues that we're faced with in society today, we need to seek the truth. We need to go to the Word of God. We need to depend on Thus Saith the Word of God for our source book of direction and pattern for life. May I simply invite us, before we look at the topic and the subject today, invite you, our listener, if you're involved in a local New Testament church, wonderful, stay there. If you're not involved in a local New Testament church, or if you're looking for a church, if you're looking for a place to worship where the Word of God is proclaimed verse by verse, chapter by chapter, word for word, what's called expository preaching, without any exception, without any partiality, without any denominational distinctive, but simply, thus saith the Word of God, we'd be delighted to have you worship with us at First Conservative Baptist Church. When we say conservative, we're talking about conservative in the realm of biblical truth. We believe in the literal six-day creation. We believe in the literal universality of the Genesis flood. We believe that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh. We believe that Jesus Christ is God come in the flesh, died on Calvary's cross, shed his rich red royal blood for your sins and for mine, and that by faith we can say yes to Jesus Christ as Savior and as Lord. We're not saved by works, the scripture says, lest any man should boast. We're saved based on the free gift of eternal life being offered, and it's a volitional choice. Listen carefully. We're not saved because back at the beginning of time, God determined that some are going to heaven and some are going to hell. That's professed today under some that are the Calvinist theologians. That is simply not in the scripture. We have a volitional choice. Adam and Eve were created in the image of God. They had a volitional choice. God said, don't. They did. That was disobedience. You and I have a choice today to make a decision for Christ. So if you're interested in and looking for a place of worship where, without exception, without apology, the Word of God can be is proclaimed, and there is traditional gospel music, not rock and roll, not the jukety-juke, but traditional gospel music that is played, that is sung, then we would love to have you if that's what you're looking for. If you're looking for a place of worship where you can plug in your gifts, talents, and abilities, come alongside us and reach out into our community and around the globe with the gospel of Jesus Christ, we openly invite you to come and worship with us. Our Bible study Sunday school hour is at 9:35 on Sunday morning. The worship service is 10:45. Then at 7 o'clock on Sunday evening is our evening worship service. At 7 o'clock on Wednesday, our midweek service, prayer service, Bible study, Bible question and answer time, fellowship meal, singing and praying. Love to have you in one of our services. That's First Conservative Baptist Church, 12021 Old St. Augustine Road. And while I am thinking of it, before I forget and get involved in our subject today, I want to also remind you of a very, very unique special that's being made available for the first time in the history of Conservative Theological University. It's a free tuition. Free tuition. It's a grant scholarship tuition. Conservative Theological University is announcing this for the next 50 new students. It's a new student incentive program for 2016 for the fall semester and beyond. This applies to the first 50 students. It applies to starting in our fall semester. And CTU will provide a variety of tuition grant scholarships. There's some 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6 different ones, anywhere from 50% up to 100% scholarship tuition, and that applies toward a 62-credit hour Associates of Arts degree program, and it is a wonderful study. Multitudes of you that have been talking about enrolling, some perhaps you're already in ministry, associate pastor, pastor, minister of music. We have all of the programs that's offered. You can take your studies either in the classroom on campus. You can do so via internet for the e-courses or the traditional off-campus distant educational program. We have several different modalities and methodologies that will help you to do your study and get your credential. Associate of Arts degree, 62 credit hours, normally a two-year degree program. We'd be delighted to talk with you about the scholarship program. It's a free tuition. And may I emphasize that, because a two-year associate's degree is $9,250 for the program with Conservative Theological University. That we're talking about a scholarship grant program, anywhere from 50 to 100% on a free tuition basis. There'd be your associated fees and so forth, you know, textbooks and graduation fees and so forth that you'd have to take care of. But your tuition, the $9,250, would be taken care of for you. And that's for, we must limit it. We cannot do that beyond just the first 50 new students that's enrolling. You can call us at 1-800-GO-BIBLE Monday through Friday and set an appointment time to come in and talk with an admissions counselor and get you scheduled for the fall semester. That's Conservative Theological University, the free tuition grant scholarship program for the first 50 new students starting in the fall semester. Now let's go to the subject that I want us to discuss. We're in an election cycle, and I feel compelled by the Holy Spirit of God to simply talk about these issues that we're faced with. We are living in perilous times. We are living in dark days. We are living in a world that perhaps has never been seen before in your lifetime and mine, with the events that are taking place around us. May I remind us, the latest discovery of Bill and Hillary Clinton, what they're doing in selling America, payments via the so-called speaking fees. Their speaking fees from the time she was in the State Department, Bill had already gone out of office as president. From the time she left the U.S. State Department, the two of them making speeches, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, they took in about $152 million. Through so-called speaking fees. Literally, it was going into the Clinton Foundation, or what I call the Clinton Slush Fund. These so-called missing emails now giving us more and more information and insight into the activities of Hillary Clinton while Secretary of State, selling America, focused on getting more and more wealth for herself. Our nation has been put up for sale, has been sold to ISIS and to other major, stakeholders around the globe for the open influence of the Islamic jihadists coming into America and having places of leadership and being tucked away in the State Department and others. Do you find it something that's not just strange but frightening? Perhaps you've heard of it. Perhaps you've read it. Perhaps you've heard it on the news. It's been low profile on most all of our news outlets. But the mysterious deaths of three people that have been associated with Hillary Clinton and the DNC, I don't know if you've kept up with that or not, but John Ash, for example, former president of the United Nations General Assembly, was awaiting trial for bribery charges. He was scheduled to testify against the Clinton family when he met his ultimate end. May I remind us, there's something strange about that. Somehow, some way, supposedly he was weightlifting. The weights dropped on him and crushed his windpipe and killed him. John Ash, A-S-H-E. And then there's Victor Thorne, T-H-O-R-N-E, Victor Thorne. He committed suicide, apparently, self-inflicted gunshot wound. drew attention from the political media because of the latest project. He had a forthcoming book, a book that was about to come out, reportedly a treasure trove of Hillary Clinton opposition research and her plans and programs and what she was doing. He killed himself. I find it strange. Then the Seth Rich, the DNC staffer, the Democratic National Convention, was attacked near the D.C. up-and-coming Bloomingdale neighborhood 3 weeks ago. The D.C. police say that they still have no clues or leads about his death. Their first smear saying that it's possibly because of a robbery gone bad. But the strange thing is he had his wallet, all of his ID, his watch, his money, all still on his body when he was discovered. May I remind us, Seth Rich was the one that was the leaker of the emails out of the DNC. How do we know that? Because Assange, the one that's WikiLeaks, he, in a national televised interview, Assange, Julian Assange, is saying there's more to the story about Seth Rich and his death. In an interview with Dutch media outlet, Assange admitted that Rich, a staffer in the voter data department of the DNC, was in fact the WikiLeaks source from inside the organization. Do you find it strange that a person that wants to be our president seems to leave dead bodies in the wake of her pathway? Anyone that disagrees with or that crosses the path or that in some way she feels has crossed them. By the way, this is not new. Go back to the days of the Clintons in Arkansas as governor, as attorney general, and you can Google it and go out and find it if you have any questions about it. There's a video called The Clinton Chronicles. Some 19 or 20 people met their early demise when they had information that they gave to authorities or that they reported on the Clintons while in Arkansas in the political circle there. Then there's Joe Montana. Montano, an aide to the Democratic vice presidential nominee Tim Kaine, died of an apparent heart attack in his Falls Church, Virginia home in late July. May I remind us, he was working for the DNC, yet at the same time had information that apparently was wanting to be sequestered permanently by the Clintons. May I remind us there's a problem when we find the dead bodies continue to rise beyond the increase that's has anything to do with or is a part of the Clinton regime. Now, I'm not saying all of these things to try to be necessarily overtly denigrative, but I'm saying this simply because we face a critical election. November the 8th will be the point of demarcation for the United States of America. Listen to me very carefully, ladies and gentlemen. By the way, if you want to jump in this discussion, feel free to do so. You have the opportunity to disagree with me, and that's wonderful. You have the opportunity to join in with the dialogue, 401-1413, 401-1413. Be delighted to discuss, listen to, and communicate with you about your view and the slant that you have on these issues. But we do have an alternative. There is an alternative to what we see taking place with the Hillary Clinton campaign. Now, I understand and I recognize that when we vote for a candidate for president, we're not voting for Jesus. We're not voting for God. We're voting for a leader of the free world. We're voting for a president of the United States of America. He doesn't have to walk on water. He doesn't have to wear a halo. But it is incumbent upon that individual that's going to lead America to love our Constitution, to revere our capitalistic constitutional rule of law as a nation, and going back to our founding fathers, make a determination that America is great and that America needs to be protected and preserved through the rule of law and via our Constitution. And Donald Trump is that person. May I remind us, we the people do have a choice. And I've reminded you so many times, day after day after day on this broadcast. Now, please, though it might sound redundant, may I do so again. I urge you, I plead with you as my listening audience, to pray. Pray seriously. Ask God to give you wisdom, first of all. Then ask God to give you backbone to take a stand publicly and tell your friends, relatives, neighbors, and acquaintances that we do have a choice. And as Christians, ladies and gentlemen, we don't have a choice of sitting at home. In the 2012 presidential election, 41 million Christians did not vote. 41 million Christians sat at home. And I don't have to say, I told you so. I think you see, without me saying so, the end result of what we have in the White House today, and the end result of the deterioration of our Constitution, the deterioration of our way of life, a deterioration of the freedoms of religion, the freedom of speech, the imposition upon Christian businessmen, cake bakers, innkeepers, where they're being sued and prosecuted as a result of standing by their conscience and what they believe God would have them to do. We need somebody that's going to stand in the gap for you and for me as Christians, that sits in the White House, that says we're going to honor our Constitution. The Christians do have freedom of speech. Christians do have religious liberties. And as a result of that, protecting that Constitution and our Bill of Rights. And I believe Donald Trump will do that. This is the most critical presidential election in my lifetime. What about Donald Trump? What is it about him? Let me just read you slowly and carefully. It's in point form. It was sent to me, and it's a good argument. There are those that will talk about, well, I don't know about Donald Trump. I don't know if I can vote for him or not. Let me just give you a whole litany of things to keep in mind. Donald Trump did not steal your money. Donald Trump did not raise your taxes. Donald Trump did not quadruple your food price. Donald Trump is not starting a race war. Donald Trump did not leave any U.S. soldiers in Benghazi to be slaughtered and desecrated by the jihadist Islamics. Donald Trump did not send the U.S. Navy to fight for Syrian al-Qaeda. Donald Trump did not arm ISIS and systematically exterminate Christians throughout the Middle East. Donald Trump did not betray Israel. We're talking about the reasons, if you want to look at them systematically and in point form, why we can consider and why we ought to vote for Donald Trump. Donald Trump did not provide financing and technology to Iran's nuclear weapons program. Donald Trump did not give our military secrets to China. Donald Trump did not remove our nuclear missile shield in Poland at the behest of Russia. Donald Trump did not shrivel our military and betray our veterans. Donald Trump did not cripple our economy. Donald Trump did not increase our debt to $21 trillion, or about $21 trillion. Donald Trump did not ruin our credit twice, not once. Donald Trump did not double African-American unemployment. Donald Trump did not increase welfare to a record level in the past 8 years. Donald Trump did not sign a law making it legal to execute and imprison Americans. Donald Trump did not set free all of the terrorists in Guantanamo Bay. Donald Trump did not steal your rights and my rights and violate the U.S. Constitution or commit treason hundreds of times. Yes, we have a choice. Yes, we have a choice at the ballot box November the 8th for president. And may I remind us, we as Christians have the responsibility to seek the best for our city. In fact, not just for our city, but for our state and for our nation. God admonished Jeremiah in Jeremiah chapter 29, verse 7 and 8. God said, and seek the peace of the city whether I have caused you to be carried away captives, and pray unto the Lord for it. God says to Jeremiah, keep in mind, Jeremiah was taken captive. He was in the city that he was sent to, that they were not his friends. But God says, I want you to pray for the peace of that city and pray unto the Lord God for the city. And then in verse 8, let not your prophets and your diviners that be in the midst of you deceive you, neither hearken to your dreams which ye cause to be dreamed. If you study the book of Jeremiah, you find that God's admonishing him, directing him to pray for the nation, the city, and those about him. Ladies and gentlemen, as Christians, we can do no less. In fact, the Lord Jesus Christ said, ye are the salt of the earth. Ye are the light of the world. And it's a command. We're to be salt. We're to be light. And if we're going to be salt and light, we need to get out of the shaker, get out of the closet, go into the highways and hedges, and be a part of what God would have us to do in our city, in our state, and in our nation. You see, there's a whole lot of responsibility that we have that many are not taking. In fact, most Christians will sing the song, Onward Christian Soldiers Marching As to War, with the cross of Jesus going on before, without ever realizing that we are in a spiritual battle. We're in a satanic, demonic attempt in that battle to destroy everything that's good and godly. But God gives us an answer. In the 2 Chronicles, the 7th chapter, the scripture is very, very clear. If my people, which are called by my name, shall humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then when, after we've humbled ourselves and we've prayed, we've sought God's face, we've turned from our wicked ways, then will I hear from heaven and will forgive their sins and will heal their land. Ladies and gentlemen, our land, America, needs healing. Donald Trump uses a statement, making America great again. May I simply modify that and say, we need to have America healed again. We need to ask God to bless us, but we need to turn from our wicked ways. We need to seek his face, that is, seek to please him. We need to, in humility, come before him and say, we have sinned, as Nehemiah of old, in confessing his sins and the sins of the nation, and asking God to heal our land, forgive our sins, and give us victory in America. I believe that we can. I believe that we have enough Christians in America to make the difference in the decision of who we put in the White House in November, going in January of 2017. I pray that you'll be salt and light. I pray that you will take a stand and tell others to be found faithful in what God's called us to do. I am thankful that you've joined us today. Look forward to being with you again on the air Monday at the same time. Looking forward to the subjects we'll be covering next week. And I pray that you will take time to participate in the question and answer of the radio broadcast. Let's Face the Issues, 5 to 5:30, Monday through Friday on this station. God bless you. Worship this Sunday in the house of God.
Let's Face the Issues, 5 p.m. Monday through Friday by Dr. Gene A. Youngblood, pastor of First Conservative Baptist Church and president of Conservative Theological University of Jacksonville, Florida. Dr. Youngblood, a biblical scholar and conservative theologian, deals with a variety of social, political, and moral issues, yet all biblical issues from a central biblicist's point of view. This call-in question and answer broadcast will provide you, the listener, with answers to questions that others have avoided. Remember, God's Word, the Bible, gives us the answers to life's questions and issues. Some of the issues we will address, allowing you, the listener, to call in and ask and respond to, are as follows. The dangers of Islam in America and around the world. What about abortion? The sin of homosexuality. Jacksonville and other cities facing the debate over open bathroom laws. Is Jesus really God? Could Jesus sin? The Second Amendment and the Christian. What about the coming Antichrist? Will America face war with Russia? How does Israel fit into prophecy? What is the real mark of the beast, 666? And multitudes of issues and topics. You're invited to tune in every day, Monday through Friday at 5 p.m. to listen to Dr. Gene A. Youngblood.